his speech, he reiterated the tougher measures that he unveiled to Parliament. That happened earlier in the day yesterday. Early closing for pubs, bars, table service only, closing businesses that are not COVID secure, expanding the use of face coverings and new fines for those that fail to comply. And once again, just when you thought it was okay to go back, you're being asked to, well, go back home from the office now. Office workers to work from home if they can, while enforcing this rule of six indoors and outdoors. Hopefully you're still with me on this. It's a lot of information to take in. Tougher packages of national measures combined with the potential for tougher local restrictions for areas that are already in lockdown. So we go day to day, really, don't we? 6 months ago today, that initial lockdown that was announced by the Prime Minister came into force, introducing us all to a very different way of life. Dr. Emily Adams is a senior lecturer in diagnostics for infectious diseases at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. Dr. Emily, good morning to you. Thanks for being with us once again.
Good morning.
I'll ask you the question I asked our listeners before. It's been 6 months today. How long does it actually feel for you in your work?
Well, it sort of feels like forever and no time all at the same time, doesn't it?
Well, you've been cracking on, haven't you, pretty much since day one, doing what you do. What did you make of what the Prime Minister had to say last night in these new measures?
Yes, I mean, we've been working hard on COVID ever since it was announced in China in January, and you know, working, really pivoting all of our research teams on the subject of COVID from sort of February onwards. Yes, Boris Johnson announced a range of measures last night. I think it's the right time to bring them in. Maybe we need stronger measures. That will all play out in the due course of time, I think. You know, we definitely are seeing in Liverpool a very rapid rise in cases, and that's now feeding through to hospital admissions, unfortunately.
The Prime Minister also made a pledge that investment will continue to find a vaccine, and this is where what you do comes into play here, but he admitted it may take a while longer. Just remind us of how the scientific world has responded since January.
Yeah, I mean, we've never seen such sort of collegiality, collaboration in science. You know, people from all over the world have been working on vaccine development, drug development, better treatment of patients and better diagnostics, and also understanding the fundamentals of the disease, transmission, etc. And I think we're really lucky in Liverpool. We've really pivoted our teams. We've sort of brought the holy trinity of drugs, diagnostics and vaccine trials to Liverpool. So we're in a good place in this city.
I mean, you were all more than well aware of each other, you know, before all of this. But as you say, you know, this coming together for the common good, we wouldn't be anywhere near where we are today without that coming together. You know, we would be really struggling. I mean, it could possibly take years and years and years. I mean, hopefully we will find a vaccine suitable as soon as we can. But without coming together, I mean, who knows how long it would have been?
Yeah, exactly. Even within our own institute, there's people working on parasites and bacteria who've now sort of come together to work on viruses in a very collaborative manner. LSTM is collaborating with amazing success with the university, which we always do. But, you know, there's really been a sort of tightening of that relationship and with our NHS trusts, of course. And then nationally, yes, in Liverpool, we have we are a site for the Oxford Vaccine Clinic, and that's really key. That's been the first vaccine through into phase three trials. And so we're now on the follow-up period of that vaccine now.
People got a little bit worried a week or so ago when the trial was stopped in Oxford because somebody took a little bit of a turn. But that's what trials are for. That's what it's about. It's continued now, isn't it? I mean, that's fairly common.
Yeah, absolutely. That was just good science. You know, they were pausing to make sure that patient was okay and that there was nothing to do with the vaccine itself. And now the trial has continued. So that is just good science. And Daniela Ferreira in LSTM is leading that trial on our behalf. And so, you know, they're doing great things. So that team has had so many volunteers, doctors, nurses, you know, coming through to deliver the vaccines and deliver that follow-up. So that's amazing to see.
So the work that you would know, let's just imagine a world where COVID didn't exist. What would you be working on at the moment? And because it does exist, has that work taken a bit of a knock?
So I work on diagnostics for infectious disease. We work on a range of diseases, mostly neglected tropical disease, so dengue, Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever, Lassa fever, things we might not have heard of that have, you know, don't come to the UK very often. But, you know, very similar techniques that we're using. So we're able to pivot all that knowledge, all our industrial partners, the relationships that we have with them to work, you know, to have this new focus on COVID.
And have you, well, you can only do one job at a time, I suppose, or maybe you're brilliant at multitasking. So some of the, you know, the work that you were doing on those other projects, have you had to come away from those while we're dealing with COVID?
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that they've paused for the last few months, and now we're just trying to pick up those strands again. So, you know, those other infectious diseases have not stopped spreading either. In fact, some of them are heightened because, you know, the lack of research and public health facilities to deal with them. So, you know, LSTM also has a crucial role in dealing with malaria, TB and others. And, you know, we can't forget those as well.
It will be really interesting to see how the flu virus plays out over the next few months or so, because this time last year, we were not washing our hands as much as we are now. We were not wearing face masks. We were not social distancing. So it'll be really interesting how the flu virus reacts to that. I read an article yesterday that said in some countries, you know, it's hardly registering, and they normally start to see it now.
Yes, it's true that, you know, worldwide, they haven't seen the same sort of flu patterns as normal. But what I would say is it'd be really important to get your flu vaccinations in early this year. We really don't want to see people with a co-infection of flu and COVID. And so, you know, we know that vaccinating children, for example, with flu can really prevent transmission in the elderly. So, you know, the sort of annual cycle of flu vaccinations is really ultra important this year.
And Dr. Emily, as ever, thanks very much indeed for your expertise on the programme. And it's a real comfort, you know, when we talk to yourself and you know, Bertie Squires and people like that, you know, from the whole sector. And we do get a lot of listeners who get in touch with us and say it's great to talk to people who know about the facts and they deal with it every day, and it's a real comfort to them. So thank you for that.
It's a pleasure.
Dr. Emily Adams, Senior Lecturer in Diagnostics for Infectious Diseases at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. 17 minutes past